Live on Tape, Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between. With award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Works fans Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. Here are your hosts, Tom and Charles.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Work in Progress. My name is Tom Alexander, and as always, I am joined by my good friend and podcast partner. It is Charles Epstein. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Tom. Looking forward to today's guest, Amy Becom, the founder of the Center for Parental Leave Leadership, providers of parental leave consulting and coaching, and the author of a new book, The Parental Leave Playbook, out on Wiley, and it will be available September 15th, I assume, everywhere you buy your books. So that could be interesting. And I have to tell you, Tom, I've been wanting to write the playbook on taking leave of one's senses.
Yeah.
For which I'm eminently qualified, as you know, Tom.
I've heard that story, yes.
Yes, and I understand that you were conscripted to write the foreword and provide a couple of use cases. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, well, listen, I'm honored, sir. I'm honored. That's all I can say. Absolutely. It's something that I think we both have a pretty good sense of as far as, you know, losing one's what is the phrase? Leave of your senses.
Leave of one's senses.
That would be it. Yes.
Yes. So, and we just showed a prime example of leave of vocabulary, leave of the English language.
Yes, exactly. I'm very good at that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. But thankfully,
I silver medaled in that.
Yeah. Good job. Good job. Well done. It's an Olympic sport in 4 years. So we look forward to that. Anyway, seriously. I know that Amy's done some advocacy work on the subject of parental leave and is now on the consulting and implementation side. So she knows whereof she speaks, and very eager to speak with her coming up shortly.
Yes, Amy Becom next, right here on Work in Progress. Stay tuned.
Data. The mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it. 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salarybudgetsurvey to learn more.
Dr. Amy Becom is the founder of the Center for Parental Leave Leadership, CPLL, providers of parental leave consulting and coaching to some of the world's most recognizable brands. Amy and her team of assist forward-thinking companies and their working parents to navigate the complex transitional time of parental leave while maximizing its potential for development. She is the author of the Parental Leave Playbook, published by Wiley, which will be out on September 15th. And she joins us today from Portland, Oregon. Dr. Amy Becom, welcome.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. And hello, Charles.
Hey, Amy. Nice to speak with you again. We spoke several days ago when you warned me that today the temperature was supposed to reach a balmy 109 degrees. Has it?
It has not yet, but it feels like it is getting there. And if anyone knows Portland, Oregon, they know that is not our normal. We stay in the 70s. We're melting.
Yeah. 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 But of course, the dry, breathable.
Right.
109.
Right.
Or whatever it is. And, you know, these days, weather forecasts out there also need to include a smoke inhalation index.
Yes.
I suppose. Yeah. By the way, I was in Brooklyn And I know you spent a little time in Brooklyn. I was there several weeks ago, and they were also experiencing a heat wave. So there's no refuge, Amy.
You know, I know it all too well. My husband, we lived in Brooklyn and New York for 14 years, and my husband is actually in Brooklyn this week. Mm. And I think the smoke has gone across the country in ways that make it worse out there right now than it is here. We're getting a lot of breeze from the ocean, so that is nice. So apologies to the rest of the country.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, not to sound macabre, but I'm sort of reminded at 9/11 where I was, which was the Park Slope area, there was debris that wafted over onto Brooklyn, and my friend's backyard was sort of caked with that debris, you know, sort of a macabre image. But I shouldn't start the podcast on that kind of note.
I was there too then, Charles, and I understand it. But yes, let's not start the podcast on that.
No, my apologies. So, okay. Anyway, speaking of Brooklyn and all that, tell us a little bit about your background, Amy, and how you came to parental leave.
Ooh, good one. I'll try and keep it fairly quick, but my early work was in executive development and coaching, and specifically women's leadership and economic advancement and work-life balance stuff. And that was mid-90s to late 90s, when the coaching world was just starting. And then I ended up after that, or the company that I helped build got sold to Mercer, which was, I think, Anderson at the time. And I ended up going back for my doctorate in org psych at Columbia. So that brought me over to the East Coast. And I had a really wonderful time there helping build the first coaching program that they offered at Columbia, the first curriculum, and doing consulting in New York, and renovating houses in Brooklyn, just all sorts of things. And then I had my first child and I was completely blindsided by the whole experience, even though at the time I was considered an expert in work-life balance. And so I changed the focus of my research and my work to better support that parental leave transition for our employers and employees. And so what happened for me personally was this time frame made me realize how overlooked and the opportunities were within that time, and how we weren't bringing that into our companies, and we weren't supporting our managers. And really, at that time, parental leave wasn't talked about. It was this black hole in women's lives because men weren't talked about. And we went away. We had some babies, maybe. We came back, but nobody really knew because we never talked about it, right?
Yeah.
And we're supposed to fit right back into our work the same way.
Right.
And so, yeah, that I changed the focus of my work to create a field of executive coaching and manager training focused on the parental leave time frame.
Yeah, interesting. You know, when we spoke, you mentioned that you spent some time. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds and too deep into your backstory, Amy, but you did say you spent some time on the advocacy side. So maybe you could just describe some of that work.
Yeah, sure. It's a really exciting time in the advocacy world today in particular. The infrastructure bill just passed and the budget reconciliation process is starting. And if that goes well, we will have paid leave in our country for the first time potentially by the end of this year, which I know for a lot of listeners may be a bit of a wake up call. there a lot of people don't pay attention to parental leave unless they have someone that they are managing directly. A lot of leaders think it's something that has already been taken care of or is taken care of within HR. And this is really a massive culture change that's happening within our companies and our country. And so what we're trying to do is get people focused on that opportunity. But to answer your question, Charles, when I started this work, there wasn't a market in the US for parental leave consulting or coaching. So I was having to build and service an emerging market. And that a lot of that meant that we were spending time on advocacy work, trying to educate people about what is parental leave? Why is this important to pay attention to for our companies and our employers?
You know, by the way, just one last comment. It is kind of interesting, this infrastructure bill that just passed Senate, sort of redefining what infrastructure is. People debating, should broadband be, but well, yeah, should this kind of stuff be viewed as part of infrastructure? So it's kind of an interesting conversation. But I think as people get into it, they realize, yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing that up, Charles, because we have what we're really talking about with this infrastructure bill is caregiving as infrastructure. And for so long, as a country, we've had largely women doing the care infrastructure of our country, right? And that's usually unpaid and not given credit for the enormity of the impact it has on people to be able to do their work. So sure. We've really seen this year with the pandemic and so many people having to change their work environment or being pushed out of the work world altogether due to caregiving responsibilities, what that really means for our GDP.
You were recently interviewed for an article in Architectural Digest called "What Does a Good Paid Parental Leave Policy Look Like?" And here's a quote from it. "If you're pregnant, adopting, fostering, going through surrogacy, or managing someone who is about to welcome a child, you might be shocked to learn that your place of work likely doesn't have a formal parental leave policy in place, and an existing policy might not be an inclusive one," close quote. What does a good paid parental leave policy look like, and what is the business case for having one?
That's a great question, Tom. So there's two ways to answer that. One way is what I think a good parental leave policy requires, which I'll get into in a second. The other is, and they're not mutually exclusive. You want to create a policy that is communicating to your employees the values and the culture that you want about being a family supportive workplace, right? And so that may be different for different companies. And what we try to do is really understand what that is, what their goals are, where they're trying to get to, and create something with them that has that helps them meet those goals. And then beyond the policy is supported by a practice and a support infrastructure that that puts that policy into play in the ways that they want it to. So that's one way. And then one way to answer it. The other way is a good policy at minimum is 12 weeks of time, is gender neutral, applies to all parents, however they identify as their gender. Well, in an ideal world is for all types of leave, which would mean caregiving leave. But since we're talking about parental leave here, and has some pieces built into it in terms of flexibility. So a lot of times people need to take intermittent leave. So considering an intermittent leave or a phase back return, that's what comes to mind right now.
You know, it's amazing, Amy, to realize that the U.S. is the only developed country in the world not to offer paid parental leave to all new parents. Currently, the Family and Medical Leave Act provides 12 unpaid weeks of leave, but that doesn't apply to everyone, as you well know, such as those who have worked for a company for less than a year or those who work for a company with fewer than 50 employees. And for many, taking 12 weeks without pay is simply not in the budget. And as I mentioned, I know you've done quite a bit of advocacy work. And based in part on that, also in part on your work with companies and implementing these policies, do you see this changing? And if so, what is driving this change?
Yes, absolutely. I see it changing. I think just to add to what you're saying, Charles, to get very specific about it, roughly 20% of people in the U.S. have access to even one day of paid leave. And we still do not have a federal policy and are the only country in the world without that, only developed country. And there's only like five undeveloped countries that don't have it. So That may be changing with the infrastructure bill that we were talking about at the beginning, but that's how it's changing, right? Right now, in the last couple of years, we've moved from 6 to 8 states plus DC having paid leave policies. In each state, they're getting progressively better. And so there will be a lot of things that companies need to pay attention to, especially multi-state employers, as they consider the paid leave policies within their state. And then we transition to a federal policy, because the federal policy may not be as good as some of those state level policies. So there may be some pieces there that have to be navigated. And then to your point about people not being able to afford to take leave, an unpaid leave, 25% of new parents in the United States, moms, birthing parents, go back to work within 2 weeks of giving birth, 25%. So at the 2 week mark, these women are barely healing. They're just at those early stages. They haven't had time to sufficiently bond with their child. They haven't had time to set up any habits of home that can support their full-time work and being back in the workplace. They're giving that newborn over to a caregiver that some of them may not have ever met before. And they're doing that right now in an environment where we're in the midst of a pandemic. So that can be a really, really terrifying prospect. Yeah. And so if you're a person who's in that position, who is forced to work for financial reasons, it can tear you apart, right? And as an employer, just from a practical perspective, you don't want that employee to be working for you when they're in that state. That is not safe. It is not good for your insurance. Like, it's just not.
Well, it also has negative implications for productivity. I've seen many studies on how pernicious this idea of presenteeism is at work, which is actually more of a drag on productivity even than absenteeism. Yep. And, you know, every company talks about their company culture wanting to be a great place to work to the extent that that helps them retain their best people. So you think that there is a very strong business case to be made for more progressive, flexible policies.
Oh, absolutely. There's the business case at this point is undeniable. It's unfortunately not very well known still. But as you say, it's presenteeism causes problems. Lack of sleep. Someone who has had 5 hours of sleep has the same rate of accidents as someone who's driving drunk. So if you have someone who's operating a forklift or calculating something in a hospital setting or right, that's a big problem.
Yeah. Lack of sleep could make one very cranky. Take it from me.
Be cranky.
Yeah. You know, nobody wants to be around me when I'm sleep deprived. It's not a pretty sight. Not a fun place to be.
No.
Our guest is Dr. Amy Beacom, the founder of the Center for Parental Leave Leadership. What are some of the things organizations ought to be doing from a best practices standpoint so there's as little interruption in business continuity as possible before someone takes leave?
We have all of our coaching clients work with their managers to create a leave plan. So everyone should be doing a leave plan. And this is all just as an aside, in my upcoming book, there's a URL that will send anyone who has the book to a whole series of resources that we have created that are free as part of the book, and the action plan template and reflection workbooks and checklists are all part of that. Mm-hmm. So what I'm talking about, are easy to access from us. But an action plan should have multiple components. The best way to think about leave is a three-phase transition over time. So you have a preparing for leave phase, you have a during leave phase, and you have a returning from leave phase. And the goal is to front load everything in the preparing for leave phase, create an ideal plan, create contingency plans, write down your what work you have and who it's transferring to. We have different models in the template around how to do this and what needs to be included. But the best thing to do is have those conversations, create that offboarding plan in a way that works with your team and with your manager, and then build in flexibility, right? Build in those contingency plans, build in those conversations around, okay, this is what I want to do, but if something goes wrong with the birth or something is wrong with the new child, we can pivot to plan B.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But by the way, Amy, I do want to let you know, we are going to get you your book. We're building toward it. You know, I think people underestimate our showmanship.
You know, I don't even need to say the book. I was just trying to think, how do I get people to know there's an action plan at this resource? That's where I was going with that.
But no, we are building toward it. trying to build some suspense. Anyway, you developed a number of programs based on your work, the Retain Parental Leave Coaching Program, the Parental Leave Transition Assessment Duo, and Retain Manager Training. Tell us a little bit about these programs.
Sure. The Retain Parental Leave Coaching Program is, there's a couple different versions of it, anywhere from two coaching sessions up to 12 is usually the highest we go. And that is done with an expert retained certified coach who works with that new parent and their manager as appropriate to navigate that time frame, get all the pieces in place, make sure all of the practical, the emotional, the psychological, the physical pieces are addressed. I, for example, had a call this morning with a coaching client who has had a 10-year history of anxiety. So what I'm doing for her is I bring in our perinatal mental health screen, which is the first perinatal mental health screen to be used in a workplace setting. And I'm able to track with her, okay, let's make sure that we have eyes on this, that we're watching for any perinatal mood disorders or anxiety disorders to increase over time, that if they do, we'll tap you right into our partner organization, Postpartum Support International, and you will get whatever you need. We will work with your EAP, whatever, right? So that a coach is doing that type of work as well as the practical work of creating an action plan, making sure that your work is transferring correctly, that you have a plan to pick it back up. One of the things that I love to say is the best way to prepare for leave is to plan your return. So we're really getting people to think about, how do I set up that return so that it is sustainable for the long haul? And I'm using that time while I'm away to train up my team, my colleagues, anyone that they may want to cross-train into this work or promote in the future, using that time frame to really do that well.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Well, and now it's time on the program for the book.
Can I make one quick plug?
Of course.
A part of what Charles asked me.
Sure.
The one thing that I am also very proud of, you mentioned, is the PLTA. That's the Parental Leave Transition Assessment. It's the first and only Parental Leave Transition Assessment tool. And it's evidence-based. It's been tried and tested and does a wonderful, wonderful job of helping that new parent and their coach identify their assets and their liabilities throughout their transition and in a customized report. So they answer a series of questions and they get a report back that says, put your limited resources here because this is a problem. Because what we're trying to do and what we know of transition theory is we always want to be increasing assets over liabilities. We're always trying to move those over into the asset column. And by doing that and knowing what they are in front of you in a report, it just makes a really overwhelming and complicated time more clear. And then we build that into the leave plans. And it works really well. So thank you for letting me say that, because that is one that I hope every new parent we'll get to use in the coming years.
Yeah. The good news is that it's really valuable information. The bad news is that you've just taken up all the time we wanted to allocate to the book. So, well,
we
Amy, very nice speaking with you.
So long. Good night, everyone. No, we're just kidding. Yeah. We do have time to talk about the book. The Parental Leave Playbook is what it's called. It's published by Wiley, and it'll be out on September 15th. Now, we understand that Wiley approached you to write this, right? Can you tell us about that?
They did. Yes, they did. I've had a goal to write a book ever since I finished my dissertation. But I've also been very busy. I never got around.
So that's, you know, after you write your dissertation, I would think you'd want to take at least 5-10 years off from it. Any kind of writing.
Go on sabbatical forever.
Yes.
But I did. I was reached out to by Mike Campbell, who is an editor over at Wiley, who it does not have children yet, but is looking towards that in his future. And he had gone on Amazon and looked for a parental leave book and couldn't find one because there is none. And so he reached out to me and said, "Hey, we really need this. This is a big gap in what we have to support people in the U.S. Can you do it?" And so I said, "Are you kidding? Have you noticed there's a pandemic going on? I have two children. I'm work schooling from home and a company to run. Of course I'll do it." So my fabulous co-author, Sue Campbell, and I, Sue, I've worked with for probably 7 years at this point. We were able to write that in 6 months, and it's being published, and we're so excited because it really truly is the first book to offer an academically grounded framework to help everyone navigate this time. And it isn't just like, you know, here's your leave plan, go do it. It's okay, here's your leave plan, that's in here. Here's these other practical things and checklists and bullets and blah, 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 you need to think about, but also who do you want to be as a working parent? How do you think about that? How do you align it with your values? How do you ensure that your health and wellness stays centered and you're able to advocate for your children in the ways you need? There's just a lot of the identity shifts and the different pieces that happen in this really complex time in a person's personal and professional life cycle are supported well. And so I wrote it in the hopes that it could serve as a sort of coach in your hands. Not everyone can access coaching right now, and it's expensive. And this is one way that they can really have me and that 15 years of this work I've been doing walk with them throughout their transition and hopefully help.
Yeah, no, I think it's a very valuable contribution, Amy. I know you assigned me to read the first 36 pages, if memory serves. I didn't make it through those 36 pages, I'm afraid, but I do want to read it because my child is no longer a child. She's a young lady. She's in college. But I do know quite a few people who've been through this, and it's a very anxious period.
Yes.
And, yes. You know, having read a little bit of the book, having spoken with you, having gone through some of the literature and so forth, you know, I just think you bring a very, very sensible, grounded, smart approach to it. And I wish you every success with this book because I do think it's incredibly valuable and very timely.
Oh, thank you, Charles. Well, you can get it for your college age daughter, because we have a new partnership this week with an organization called Project Matriarchs. And what they did over the pandemic is they gathered 900 college students who were willing to offer caregiving over the internet for free to $15 an hour, depending on what people could afford. And so that really helped out a lot of working parents who were working at home, had a child in that range that could be on a Zoom call with a remote caregiver for a couple hours. But what this group of, they have a goal to get 1 million of Gen Z to sign their care pledge, which was launched last week, by the end of this year. And what that says is we are Gen Z and we are not going to work for companies that don't consider caregiving and don't build it into their benefits and their ethos within their companies. And I mention that here because I think for your listeners, they sometimes forget that this generation that's coming up is already thinking about this and expecting it. And they are going to go to the companies, and they're brilliant, right? This is a really, really bright generation. They're going to go to the companies who understand that that desire and that need.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because we talked about that in the lead up to this. Mm-hmm. And that was something I wanted to sort of bring out. So I'm glad you addressed it. It's true.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I really do. I think so. They're saying to me, we are talking about parental leave right now. We're already planning it. We're the ones who are reading this book now. It's not when you have, you know, you're already pregnant. It's things you need to think about beforehand, right? Right.
Well, like this, Mr. Mike Campbell, you know?
Yes, exactly. To your point, right. Like Mr. Mike Campbell. Yep.
Amy, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a total pleasure. I hope that something I've said will just trigger an idea with your audience. And I would love to say, if it does, please reach out. I'm here. I'm easily found on all the social media and website and all of that.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Dr. Amy Beacom was our guest today. She's the founder of the Center for Parental Leave Leadership, CPLL. She spoke to us today from Portland, Oregon. This is Work in Progress. Back in a moment.
Data, the mantra of business today. It's nothing new to World at Work. It's no small feat that they've been collecting data on salary issues for its salary budget survey for more than 45 years. Think about it, 45 years. Curious to know how your company stacks up? HR execs in the know rely on World at Work's salary budget survey. Shouldn't you too? Go to worldatwork.org/salarybudgetsurvey to learn more.
Wrapping things up now on Work in Progress, along with Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander. You know, Charles, I got to tell you, I would love to be pursued to write a book by the publisher as well. That is pretty cool stuff, I got to tell you.
Yeah, and I was very surprised to hear that hers is the only book of its kind, or at least right now. So, and it was also interesting to hear that the guy at Wiley was not even at the point of starting his own family, but apparently he saw it as a hot topic needing to get covered. And of course, realizing that who better than Amy Beacom? And she also made the point, which I guess goes to the guy at Wiley, that more and more people just entering the workplace well before they're even thinking about starting families, or certainly before the point they're actually starting families, are looking at this as a key benefit in deciding whether or not to take that job with that company. So that's a very interesting development. I also should say, what's the Woody Allen line? 90% of life is just showing up.
Yes.
Do I have that right?
That's right.
To that point, several days before we had this conversation with Amy, she had texted me and said that Portland was expected to reach 109 degrees in the day we were scheduled to have the podcast. And she was concerned that the power grid would be under such stress, we might have trouble having that conversation. So just having that conversation was an achievement in itself. So thankfully that was the case. But you know, I tell you, Tom, it's interesting, you know, as we talked about in the interview with Amy, that the U.S. is the only developed country in the world not to offer paid parental leave to all new parents. And even then, those that do provide it, it doesn't apply to everyone. But she did make a convincing business case. And again, anybody who's even thinking about the topic, if you're on the HR side or the, you know, the business side, or if you're investigating a company or being courted by a company for a job, and even before you're even thinking of forming a family, my advice is grab the parental leave playbook and, you know, don't go home without it when in fact you're at the point of considering taking leave.
We need the late, great Carl Malden to voice that for us, right? Don't leave home without it.
Exactly. Exactly. But no, that was a really interesting, enlightening conversation. Again, really surprised that Amy is the first one to tackle the subject, and she does it very well. It's not only a very insightful book, but very engaging. And as I said, if you're a business leader, you're in HR, if you're about to take leave or considering taking leave or considering a company and the benefits they're offering, it's a book you really should check out.
Absolutely. And definitely it is available wherever books are sold, as they say. Consider checking that one out.
And yes, when it comes to family leave, she is a BCom.
Yes, in the night. Yes. you know, I got to say that, you know, you talk about books that have never been written. I think I may have something as well. I can be, you know, the write a book on what it was like to grow up in your dad's movie theater, you know, and I don't think I've ever seen it. I've checked and I haven't seen any book about that. But that was a lot of fun. But, you know, when the most pressing question is, how excited were you when you learned that Godzilla versus the Smog Monster was the Saturday afternoon matinee? You know, that may lose some readers, but
yeah. And quite frankly, that being your formative experience, experience we've discussed many times over these 20 years now that we've been pals, it does give one very, very good insight into the person you've become, Mr. Alexander. And I'm going to leave it at that. Many of those double bills clearly have had an impact.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll leave you with this one. The Thing with Two Heads, Ray Milland and Rosie Greer.
Need I say more?
That's all you need to know. American International Pictures, 1972. On that note, we say goodbye. We say goodbye for another week. For Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander. Thanks for listening. So long, everybody.
This has been Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between, with award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. For more, visit worldatwork.org/workinprogress. That's worldatwork.org/workinprogress. Join us next week for another edition of Work in Progress.